This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome to my regular listeners and friends, and hello to newcomers. I'm Lana, joining you for the next hour or so. Things are changing fast. What seemed shocking and unacceptable to even think about just 2 years ago is now becoming a part of regular discussion. But it's clear what side the establishment backs up. People with views like ours are having to make drastic life changes because they're being outed at their jobs, disowned by family, cast out by friends, and even iced out from doing business or using various services. I'm sure most are familiar with the Overton window, the range of ideas the public will accept. The current spectrum of what is acceptable socially and politically is minuscule. I'd say the Overton window is just open a crack. As the current social and political spectrum ranges, far left is free and acceptable, but far right is not free or acceptable. So we have a duty to expand, to push that line of what is acceptable, to push it far to the right, so far right that we are back in natural law and reality. If we don't, soon we'll find ourselves in a 2x2 space of what is acceptable with brain implants to enforce our thinking. But that expansion, the pushback, the rebellion is happening because here we are today about to have an edgy, bold, and socially unacceptable conversation that 2 years ago would have been unthinkable even for most of you. The funny thing is that 100 years ago, this conversation probably would have been coffee talk at a ladies' luncheon. How far have we slid into leftist ignorance and fear that we won't even listen to another point of view, like militant Puritans? People have become weak. They're afraid to even look at reality and discuss it. That's what happens when the window is open just a crack. You suffocate from the lack of oxygen. It's like breathing in artificial air conditioning all day, every day, without leaving the cubicle. Eventually, you need to go outside, breathe fresh air so you can think straight, get the brain working, and see the real world. It's liberating to break out of the prison cell of liberalism, rebel and run naked and free in the wide open field of reality and nature. The right is about letting loose. The left is about being buried alive, screaming in a coffin. Megan and Sinead are joining us today, returning after a year for another talk. And by the way, we had tremendous difficulties with Megan's internet connection and her gear gave out, so the audio on her end isn't the best, unfortunately. But it'll be worth it. We'll talk about plenty of naughty, off-limit topics, doing our part to push back the confining boundaries of leftist, fanatical Puritanism that seeks to crucify us as witches. Megan and Sinead, coming up. Welcome, Megan and Sinead. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lana.
Thank you, Lana.
Well, a lot has happened since we spoke a year ago. So would you both say you've become more extreme and hardcore than a year ago when it comes to defending your folk?
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't have time to waste anymore. We don't have time to pussyfoot around these issues. We are being genocided. We are being invaded. And if someone's not going to say something, then I don't know who is.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm happy to say that since our last talk together, I've been receiving more frequent emails from European women all around the world who are waking up to white genocide. And I see how as more women come in, more women follow. Do you both see that?
It seems that way for sure. And I think that when women start to see, oh, if there are other women, then they're going to follow even more and they're going to dare to say maybe more, I don't know, extreme things or things that are more clearly defined in one corner, whereas maybe before they were sitting on the fence more. Now they're like, okay, I know what side of the fence I'm on. Mm-hmm. And I see, oh, I'm not totally alone. So I trust that. And I think that when they see, you know, a couple of like men whom they respect saying these things, then they'll start thinking these things. And then they say, oh, there's other women too. So absolutely, I, you know, won't be the only one. And I think a lot of that's a subconscious thought process that takes place. Not even a thought process, just like something clicks. And then, oh, really, it's okay. It gives a single signal. And then people feel like they can actually have these opinions. And it doesn't mean they're a horrible person, because protecting your own people or caring about your own people, that's not bad.
Definitely, definitely. And I've gotten a few messages from some women, you know, thanking us for being brave enough to say these things, and especially to call out the Jew, because, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you need to be more discreet. But no, this is war. The time for discretion is over, and we need to call out our enemies. And I've seen just it's been maybe a week since the video's been out, people have been saying, you know what, you three inspired me to go and talk to my family about this without caring what they think of me, or especially the men too. Someone was telling me that they've been kind of looking at the threads on 4chan and poll, and they're seeing a response from men basically feeling like, if our women are out there putting their faces up, you know, on the screen and risking the reputations, then we need to do something too. We can't just sit here and let the women do it. So I think it's had a good reaction for both sexes, and it's great to see.
I definitely want to get into more of that later, but I wanted to talk about, I guess we could call it a public service announcement. White women are getting fed up. And if you're listening and you haven't seen this video yet on YouTube, I'd say go watch that, then come back to this talk. But Sinead, you wrote the script and invited Megan and I to be a part of it. So tell us what inspired you to make this video.
Well, I've wanted to make this video for probably about 2 years now, and I had rounded up some women, and we were going to get started, and then, I don't know, it just kind of fell apart. I guess maybe it wasn't the right time, and I don't think it was. Now, I think this time, it was the perfect time, because as we released this video, we saw the floodgates open to Europe. It was very interesting timing. So, I don't know, I guess I just kind of... just went from the heart on this one, and I wanted to talk about some things that had really been bothering me and some double standards that I see thrown in my face all the time. You know, oh, whites enslaved everybody, and oh, white privilege. And no, we're not privileged. We're targets, and white women are hated and blamed for everything, white women and white men. And everyone thinks that we're just this protected class that has everything so easy. And it's insane to see that people actually think our video is satire.
Really?
Yes, I've had multiple people ask me, you're kidding, right? This is a joke, right? White women have things so easy. You know, no, we don't. And we're not trying to be victims here. We're trying to call out the double standard and trying to show the anti-white agenda, because it's not just white women. But I wanted to come at it from the point of a white woman talking to other white women, because I'm seeing a lack of feminine voices in this movement. And it's not because women are stupid and they don't see what's going on. It's because they're afraid. And I felt that if we were to put our faces out there and to say these things, to speak these truths, that it would encourage other people to not be so afraid to do that.
Yeah, I think there's a disconnect here because, you know, we keep hearing about white woman privilege. And in this video, we talk about how basically non-whites say white women have it so much easier than everyone else, which today is utterly a lie. But if we back up before mass immigration and leftist filth, we did have it better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Because the white patriarchy existed to uphold white women and children. So white men treat their women better than any other men on the planet, right? But now our white men are propping up non-white women and children over their own. So what are your thoughts on this?
That's definitely what's happening. And it's sad to see. Now, it's not all white men. But a lot of our men have been completely castrated, and they're more afraid of being called a word like racist or anti-Semite than standing up for their people and their progeny. So, yeah, it's strange to see the disconnect happen. And I'm hoping that, by doing this video, we can kind of rile some of these men up and say, hey, come on, get off your butt and let's go. Let's start fighting. We don't have time to sit on our hands anymore. We don't have time to worry about being called names. We need to stand up for our people or we will be annihilated.
I also find that there's some bitter white men towards basically all white women because they're blaming them for accepting all this leftist ideas. But really, when you get down to it, it's just a small minority of women.
Yes.
Because most of us women are traditional. Besides, where are the good women supposed to speak out against leftist filth? Our government doesn't listen. It's not like our vote matters. Our churches don't care. What are good women to do? I mean, good men aren't doing much more. So it's absurd to blame all women.
Where are you going to talk about it? Like at work? No, you know, you'd be met with all kinds of resistance and be called, you know, this, that, and all kinds of terrible things. I think that's what the fear is. And so, you know, women don't say anything, and men as well. But when you get people in the right situation, they'll say, you know, actually, I agree with you. And even people who might, you know, you put something out there that's a little bit controversial, they might first protest and say, oh, no, you can't say that. But then later on, they'll say, well, I thought about what you said, and actually, you have some good points there. So it's like the knee-jerk reaction to defend the picture of themselves as a good person because people want to think of themselves as being good and moral people. And they think that the only way to achieve that is to be basically upholding the liberal leftist worldview. And then when they actually think about it, then they realize, okay, that's not logical and that's not really where I stand. So part of it is maintaining a kind of facade. And in fact, they are good people deep down, but they feel like they have to maintain the facade in order for other people to think that they are, in fact, good and worthy people.
Yeah, the women's nurturing side has totally been taken advantage of. It's been a big psyop, and it's going to take a lot of work to reach some of these women. I also feel like another reason why we're in this mess, I know women play a role today in white genocide, but I think it's very much unconscious. They don't actually put the pieces through and see what they're doing, and they need to be shown actually how they're making this happen. But it seems like also it's the high testosterone women who are more driven politically and who are louder, and that would be mostly the feminists, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's just another set. Those are the two extremes, you know, and in the middle lies the traditional feminine woman. And I don't think that option has been given to anybody because I didn't know it existed. I kind of had to figure it out on my own because we're only given kind of two options. So I think what we've done is really great. We've shown these women who are rejecting feminism, but may not have another alternative to look towards. I think we've shown them that there is another path to take, and it's the healthy middle ground. You know, it doesn't have to be one extreme or the other.
Yeah. And we have to, I always come back to this, but our society was built by Europeans or Europeans, and white women were held up high until this feminist decay, which was brought to us by many leading feminists who were Jewish. Now, if you think about how Jews treat their women, you can understand their anger, but it seems they also hate the goy girls even more. So what are your thoughts on Jewish feminists?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all part of the infiltrate and destroy thing to bring down the, you know, Western civilization and getting revenge, really. And I guess fueled by some kind of jealousy.
Yeah, I wonder, are they genuine or is this just a war tactic?
I think it's jealousy and a war tactic, personally.
Yeah, because you don't hear these same Jewish feminists outraged or fighting for the Slavic women who are kidnapped and into sex slavery in Israel, right?
No, you don't. And they, you know, they support all these Muslim invaders coming into their countries and, oh, we got to protect them. But you're inviting in an ideology that despises women and promotes pedophilia, but you're not going to say anything against that. You're just going to keep talking about the white patriarchy that has done nothing but give you the highest standard of living in the world. That makes no sense.
And to be insulting, you know, to promote the insulting and offending and complete alienation of the one group who would be able to protect you in the case of this, you know, mass immigration, actually mass invasion. So it's a tactic definitely to divide, to further divide the civilization and bring down, yeah, European people.
Yeah, because this divide is only happening to European people. I'm so sick and tired of people saying they're trying to divide and conquer humanity. Well, one, we're already divided, as you ladies know. And two, this is all about dividing and conquering European people. This is only happening in Europe and white countries.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't know how obvious it has to be for people to see it. It's really strange to me, the level of cognitive dissonance, when even I present people with evidence, showing them videos of what these invaders are doing, they just turn a blind eye and they just want to pretend like it's not happening. It's really disturbing. And I'm kind of throwing my arms up here. Like, I guess we've just got to focus on the people who still have a few brain cells left, because it doesn't take the majority to make change. But it's just a very strange situation that we're facing right now.
Yeah, it's like the mind control is so deep that they can even be raped and beaten and have feces thrown in their face, and they still don't wake up and see what's going on. I mean, that's a scary level of mind control we're dealing with.
It is. Yeah. I've dealt with female friends of mine who have been attacked and raped by blacks, and they will still to this day make excuses for their behavior, and it just boggles my mind.
Because it was just a singular incident. You know,
right.
It just happened.
One bad apple.
To happen. Yeah, one bad apple and just one singular instance. You know, it's not going to happen again. It's not something that happens all over the world all of the time.
Yeah. Oh, they're just youths, or it was a gang-related dare. It's nothing racial, right? Or they're just fed up with white racism. So just, you know, just let them have it, right?
Right. And we are the only race that does that, that excuses other people's behavior. If, you know, this Dylan Storm roof thing was complete BS, but say that really happened. Do you have black people, you know, going and, or say a black, this black guy that supposedly shot this news anchor, do you have black people apologizing for the actions of this man? No. But when Dylan Storm roof did this fake shooting, we have white people saying, oh, this is terrible. You know, we can't support this, when it was just one dude that had nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah, I remember the articles were like, after Dylan, white America must apologize for Dylan roof.
Right, right. Like, it's our problem.
Right, like every time a white person does something, then the whole white race is responsible and should apologize for that. But every time a black person does something, it's just a singular instance. They were young, they were angry, all kinds of excuses.
Well, yeah, Sinead, you wrote about how rape doesn't count when it's a white woman. Maybe you can tell us about this lunacy that you wrote about in the script.
Yeah, I had no idea this was a thing, because when I was in college, I wasn't really taking any gender studies classes. I'm sure it was going on right in front of my eyes, but I never, you know, knew what was being taught. But it took me a year after graduating college to hear from other people that were still in these courses that it's being taught that, I guess, rape is systematic oppression, and or I guess a white woman can't be raped because she is the oppressor, and oppressors can't be raped. So everybody else but a white woman can be raped. But when it's a white woman, it doesn't mean it was rape because she is the oppressor. I mean, there's some weird formula that they try to put forth. It's absolutely insane.
And people actually believe that.
Yes. That's the scary part. Yeah. People are really believing this. Like, yeah, I guess a white woman can't be raped because, well, she's oppressing everybody, so she deserves it. I mean, this is insane, and this is being taught in our universities, and we're okay with that. I mean, I know we're not, but I mean, people should be flipping out.
Well,
they should be out on the street protesting, you know?
Yes.
Well, there was a really disturbing case in Norway recently, and maybe you've heard about it, you too, but this 14-year-old girl was raped by, I think, a 17-year-old Somalian, and he only got 22 hours of community service.
Yeah.
As a punishment, and that's it. And I just don't understand why people are not out on the streets protesting that, because you know, if it had been a black Somalian, okay, a Somalian 14-year-old girl and a 17-year-old Norwegian man or guy, boy, you know, then people would be, oh, stop racism, and he targeted her, it was a hate crime, you know, because it was a Somalian immigrant who somehow requires protection, even though he's a pedophile, violent criminal. The 22 hours of community service, okay, and then he can go and repeat the process to many others. Actually, no, it wasn't one. It was the whole group. That case was the whole group. And they gang raped the girl in the train from Oslo. It was in Oslo.
So, and were people watching?
And I don't know. I think it was later at night, but I forget that detail. But it was the whole group. And only one of them was, like, sentenced to anything at all. It's just completely disturbing. So it was a gang rape. They lowered the how they would normally process that case, because even though they were all there, the rape took place singularly, but it's like, okay, it's kind of physically impossible for them all at the same time, so that they took turns. Just disgusting. And you know, only a few media, like basically the alternative media, covered this in any kind of length. And the one guy said that he was actually, like, throwing up reading the court documents describing what actually happened, because it was so brutal. And I mean, this girl went right to the police afterwards, and they found, like, physical proof. So there was no denying that, but somehow this judge just basically created, like, excuses to try them, like, at a much less harsh level. And people, okay, you know, in, like, online and social media, people are posting, yeah, it should have gotten a much harsher punishment. But then you have some people typing things like, despite the race, this should have gotten a harsher punishment. Like, they feel like they have to mention the race.
Yeah,
I'm not a racist, but I think they should have been punished more harshly. And if it had been the reverse, then people wouldn't be saying that. They would have been saying, yeah, kill that scum.
Oh, of course.
But it's, as the perpetrator was black, there's some desire to protect and, keep the identity secret because, then there might be retaliation. Afraid of retaliation, because that's the kind of behavior you want to encourage in your society. And that's so scary because it just sends the message that that kind of behavior
That's just it. Yes, where is the retaliation? Where is the brothers and the father of this girl? And why don't they go and take care of business and send the message that if you touch our women, we're going to come after you. Whatever it takes, we will find you and we will take care of you. This is what needs to start happening.
Yes, it does. Right. And it's not, as far as I can see, now I'm not there, but it's not. And that is the scariest thing. Are people just going to sit and let their wives and daughters be gang raped in front of their eyes and because they're too afraid of being called a name?
Well, and then some guys will say, well, that's what they deserve because of feminism. Well, I doubt this 14-year-old girl was a feminist, you know?
Thank you. We got the same kind of ridiculous comments on our video. You guys voted for this. You guys for the last 50 years. I'm not even 50 years old. So why are you trying to say that I have voted? I've never even voted once in my life because I knew that it was all bullshit. So to try and say that, it's our fault. We didn't ask for any of this.
No, we didn't.
We were born into this corrupt world and now we're trying to change it.
Exactly. What do you think about that, Megan? When people say, oh, it's your fault, you've supported feminism, or all women have supported feminism, so you deserve what you have coming.
I've never had anybody say that directly to me, but I guess indirectly, just think about it now. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous because it's just an attempt. A person who's saying that, it's just attempting to shift the responsibility away from themselves because they don't want to take a hand in improving things. Because it's none of our individual responsibility specifically, but we all have a responsibility to do something about this mess, to change it. And if you just pass on the responsibility and say, well, it's your bad voting habits or the demographic group you belong to, voting habits have led to this, which is not true because, the voting doesn't lead to anything anyway. Even if we had voted for this, then it wouldn't. What difference does it make? I mean,
and besides, the last thing we need is white men pointing their fingers at white women and fighting with white women right now. You know feminists in your life, try and reach them, try and save them. Don't act like it's already over and they're gone for good. You can still win people over. We hear people that hated us when we changed our tune and have come to us 1 year later, two years later, and they're like, I get it. I'm so sorry. I see now. So you can't just give up on all your women that quick. And Swedish men were to give up on all their Swedish women, there would be no more Swedish people. So figure it
out. And Lana, honestly, I think a lot of the times this men going their own way thing, yeah, there are a few idiot men who are just bitter because they can't get laid or whatever. But a lot of the times this is old Shlomo, part of the JIDF. He's over there in Israel trolling all these different comment threads. It's not even actually white men, because we know who's behind the men going their own way movement. And they just want to sow more discord between white men and white women because they see that we are a force to be reckoned with when we are joined together in unity. And they're freaking scared. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to get us fighting against each other when really half of these accounts aren't even real, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree. I'd say, stop blaming each other. And really, when you back it up, we're all guilty. And I think the root of this is that we've let go of our, pagan pre-Christian roots where we were actually balanced. We've let this weird government and these false ideas and social constructs get in the way. And it's got us all off balance on both sides. So we can't just be pointing fingers. Oh, it's all women or it's all men.
Right, exactly.
But I'd say now women are actually the most important because we're the ones that make the babies, right? We decide who we have babies with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And a lot of white women aren't having babies at all, or they're having mixed race babies. So yeah, we have a lot of the future in our hands. And that's why we need to deprogram white women, because I didn't always think this way. I wasn't born being a racial realist and seeing everything. I've just recently in the past 2 or 3 years woken up to a lot of this information. So I think all of us have, so we can understand kind of our journey and how what worked for us and what didn't work for us. And I think we can approach it from that standpoint and kind of, that's why I wanted to do the women's video, because I understand the psyche of a woman. I don't understand really how to approach a man from a man's perspective. So I think that's that's the key for us here as women, to deprogram other women and then to inspire them to be something greater than they have been given the option for, because the options right now are be a whore or be a cat lady. So
yeah, I had a friend, Mary, I've connected with. She sent a few excellent messages to me regarding why diversity and really just the welcoming of genocide is basically women are taking the leading role into this. They are a lot of these liberal leftist women. And I asked her, why are women so gullible? And so let me get my notes. I wanted to read you what she said because I thought it was pretty good. She said, women are naturally prone to perpetual guilt. Women need to feel guilty about something. Those feelings are estrogen induced, just as the opposite of confidence, which is testosterone induced. We feel guilty about eating a cookie, about hanging out with one friend over another, etc. We feel guilt over the entire concept of the white man should feel guilty about his past. It's appealing to us psychologically. We females are the ones who, in the privacy of our bedrooms, course the minds of our white males to be more open, to feel more guilt, to be softer. So how do we end this? It's very simple, she says. We replace the negative guilt that is detrimental to whites with positive guilt that is beneficial to whites. Females must feel guilty for destroying the white race. Feel guilty for destroying white culture. Feel guilty for destroying your bloodline, for undoing history and nature. They must feel guilty about what is going on in Europe and feel guilty for the end of the status quo. We need to be preoccupied with a different form of guilt. And in turn, that will empower white males to do as they wish and need to. What do you think?
That is brilliant. Brilliant.
Yes, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's not exactly fun to suffer guilt per se, but when it actually serves to benefit you in that way and to benefit, you know, your future children or the children that you have, then absolutely, then it's perfect.
Yeah, she made an interesting observation that the less power a female has in politics, like if we look at Europe, the stronger they have a stance that the nation takes against diversity. So, I mean, look at Germany, it's a woman. And yep. It's just like full force diversity above everyone. So we need to change this new guilt into you should be guilty about white genocide. Because she was telling me when you actually explain this stuff to a white female that she's the reason for white genocide, they're immediately in this shock and they're consumed with guilt and their views can change. Like it's their genetic duty to protect their kind. So, I mean, maybe that's a tactic that we should start trying.
It definitely is a tactic. And I think another one too is pulling on the heartstrings of women, because it's done to us every single day with this little kid that's washed up on the beach. I mean, you have people flipping out over this one kid, and we need to get people crying over our deaths. We need to get people feeling sad about the white genocide, not crying over some African kid in Africa that you have no connection to. That's one in a billion or million, you know, we need to get them sad about what's happening to them and get those emotions focused on their people instead of other people.
Right. Well, there are white children, white babies going hungry in Europe right now. And meanwhile, lots of money and food is being thrown away by the so-called refugees, or as a friend of mine refers them, greed refugees, because they just want free everything. They don't feel like fighting for Assad. They feel like going and getting free everything in Germany. But anyway, I think that, think of the white babies who are going hungry now because the resources are going to foreigners. I mean, you can't take care of the world. You have to take care of your own household, so to speak. And when your own household is okay, then you can think of the next community. But, you know, European people, white people all over the world, thinking of, okay, we have to save these poor babies in the Middle East or save these poor African babies. And meanwhile, down the street, there could be a white child that's completely hungry. And, you know, maybe the parents are good parents, but they are struggling. They don't have enough money and they're not getting, you know, benefits, or they're not getting sufficient benefits.
What makes us white women different that we feel this empathy and bleeding heart until we just kill ourselves when blacks and Asians and Jews, they don't have that? What is it in us? Have you both thought about that?
Yeah, I have. And I think some of it is obviously just we're born with this altruistic aspect to our psyche. But I think a lot of it is just heavy psychological warfare and programming from a young age, because I was brought up being taught in first grade about the Holocaust and the, you know, all of you guys with brown eyes would be killed, and like all this traumatic programming at a young age that gets us to think that we are just the scum of the earth, and that, you know, we are just an embarrassment, and we've done nothing but steal from everybody, and when really it's the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. So I think it's taken a lot of years of breaking our spirits and pumping us full of hatred towards our people. So I think that really outweighs the, you know, the stuff that we're just born with. But I do think that white people as a whole have this pathological altruism that does get us in trouble. But yeah, I think a lot of it's programming.
Maybe it also goes back to definitely programming, but maybe it also goes back to the times where, you know, people were white people, European people were living in extreme cold, and people had to depend on one another for survival.
Yeah,
so the community aspect was absolutely essential. And if you just lived alone in the harsh climes, like Arctic climate, then you could expect to just, you know, that would be it, because you can't do the amount of work required to survive. If you have a community, then one person can focus on one aspect, somebody else can focus on another aspect, and then everybody works together and ensures that the community survives. And in a place like Africa, people could just, you know, gather food from, you know, the warm, or in like, you know, warm climates, wherever, and it may be that there was more focus on the just gathering or individual life, like lazing about in the sun. Like, you would have time to actually do something like that. But in the harsher climates, you don't really have time for that sort of thing. And it's more focused on working. And so you have to come together as a community. But if the life is easier, then you can be a little bit more like individualistic and think of your own, okay, satisfying your own needs. But in the harsh climate, then you have to think of the needs of your children and sometimes put them before your own. So I think it comes, that could be a part of it, that's yeah. something that's being exploited as
well. I think you're both right. It's some of that's in our DNA, a survival thing, and then heavy programming. And then this third thing, and I think this goes with programming, is we're taught to not think about our own people and race,
that's
a bad thing. So we don't have an immediate
thing. Or racist. Yeah.
Like there's this girl on Twitter. She was like, she was, you know, kind of trying to go after me, you know, calling me all the usual things because I was pointing out that these refugees aren't really refugees and they're not even Syrians.
Not.
And then I told her, she was like, well, I'll open up my house. They can all come live in my house, you know? And like, I was like, well, would you keep letting them flood in until your liberal values of Europe were completely destroyed? And she's like, the more the merrier. Like it didn't even occur to her that this might even happen. And then I pointed her towards, you know, Afrikaner babies. I said, well, why don't you take those babies?
Right.
They're refugees. They need it. And she like didn't even know about it. And then just like cut off and ran away, called me racist, you know.
Typical liberal behavior.
Yeah. Why don't people stop and think of, you know, the Afrikaners in South Africa that are starving at this very moment? They're living outside in horrible conditions. They have no money at all. That, you know, they're not able to make the journey to Europe with like 5,000 euros in their pocket, you know, to pay off whomever. They don't have that. If they had that, they could buy food for their children. You see them starving and the elderly, like these heart-wrenching pictures.
I know.
And you know, they're European people, and you know, can't take them as refugees to Europe because they're all guilty, you know, the three-year-olds are guilty of apartheid.
Yeah.
So, you know,
isn't collective punishment a war crime? That's what I was under the impression that it is. If it's not, whatever, collective punishment is just stupid. But trying to say that kids have something to do with this, you know, the state that we're in. They have their kids.
I know.
They're learning their ABCs. They don't even know about policies and government. And it's ridiculous.
But they're sure programming them in school.
Yes. Of course. Oh, yeah. That you have privilege and everything's handed to you. You don't have to work for anything. And
I think that's the opposite when you have like money just being handed out to people from, you know, the Middle East and Africa to flood Europe and wherever else, like affirmative action in the U.S. They're the ones getting the money, the education and
dental work. That's right. If you're a white person, you're on the bottom of the list. I've been looking it up. There's actually special tax credits for minority businesses. You get special loans. You get special grants. Loans. Yeah, you get scholarships. You get admission into school. I mean, you get all the things we do not get.
It's just insane. It's like I'm living on a foreign planet.
Yeah, it's really surreal.
As the video states, you said white women of childbearing age are only 2% of the world's population, but we're encouraged to have children outside our race, or not at all, because they'd be racist carbon consumers, right? So have you both noticed in the last year, the race mixing propaganda geared for white women, it has skyrocketed?
Oh yeah. I can only speak for here, and I know Megan's got Europe covered, but oh my gosh, it's gotten really crazy here. Really, really, really crazy. Now that Feminist came out with a study saying that if you don't have sex outside of your race, you're a racist.
I saw that.
Science, guys, science.
So are we going to have affirmative action for sexual intercourse now, too? Oh,
probably. God. I wouldn't be surprised.
I also saw an article describing a study that showed that most studies that are performed are flawed and they can't duplicate the results. So that kind of nullifies that.
Oh, yeah. And you got to follow the money. I mean, a lot of these studies are funded by, you know, companies that want to just prove that they're great or prove that a drug is safe. And, you know, you got to follow the money too, because a study can say anything and statistics can say anything.
But of course, since only white people can be racist, it's only white people that are the racists if they don't have sex with, you know, blacks and Asians and everyone else. Yeah, I saw it was the Daily Commie Beast. I think she was a Jewish writer too, Samantha Allen.
Shocking.
She's a feminist. She picked up on that story and was just blasting it everywhere. You're a racist if you're white and haven't had sex with a black guy.
Jeez, you know, and there's very young, impressionable girls who are so afraid of being called names. Like, I get it. We were all young and we just wanted to be accepted, right? And these poor young girls are being told that you need to have sex with a black man or you need to have sex with this when they shouldn't even be having sex. But then you have, you know, a video like us coming out, some positive role models for these girls, and they age restrict it. So these kids are not going to be able to have access to positive role models like us that are modestly dressed, that are speaking truths and are eloquent and intelligent. No, they'll be given role models like Miley Cyrus. Yeah. And Taylor Swift, who's now going towards the dark side herself. You know, it's insane.
No, it's just even for them to realize that there's another viewpoint out there at all, because they might be under the impression that just everybody thinks the same way as what's being presented in the media. And they don't have to agree with what we're saying, like right off of the bat, but just for them to know that there's another perspective out there. So they don't have to 100% buy into what's going on. Like if they feel like they have some subconscious permission to think a little bit differently, but the way things are, that any kind of opposition is just being cut completely off. These young people just think that there's only one way to be and anything else makes you a bad person. And that's really dangerous. I mean, this kind of mental, psychological tyranny that you basically have to be a, you know, leftist, communist, cultural Marxist to be a good person.
Yeah. Is
that profile?
It's in. It's a trend and it's in. I spoke to a friend yesterday. He's younger. He said he went to his college campus and he saw just biracial couples everywhere. So it's a trend. It's a fucking genocidal trend. We have several mixed or biracial couples. They, you know, friends, they listen to our shows. They get what we're saying. They actually support us. However, they're together not out of propaganda, but true love. And we know the couples have always fallen in love, you know, from different places, but it's usually a small percentage. But now it's just a full on mind control operation. And most women are getting with immigrants or non-whites because it makes them basically gives them more social brownie points. So when we're attacking these things, I always have to clarify that that's what we're going after there. Or we know people fall in love and that's not what we're talking about.
People always flip out about that when I'm talking about race mixing. It's like, I don't hate everybody that fell in love with another race, but it's being shoved down our throats now. And as white women, now we're being told we're racist if we prefer our own men. I mean, this is just insane. And if mixed race couples get it, then come on. Like even they get it.
Yeah, I know.
But it's the propaganda portion of it, you know, it's not that, okay, people legitimately fall in love. That's, you know, it's happened since the beginning of time. It's fine. It's natural, normal, whatever, but just at this scale. And there are a lot of people who are getting together really just because it's some sort of trend and they're going to get more social acceptance or more leverage in society because of that. And so then nobody can call them a racist for that reason. And you even find like people who say, okay, I only prefer my own race, and then it's, oh, but I'm not a racist, I swear. Like, people feel like they have to defend that point.
Sick.
And that's the thing.
Right, that's social engineering. I mean, we're being taught what is good to be and what is bad. And it's good to betray your own race and have mixed race babies because whites are inherently evil and racist. So you're just like, you're bettering the world by betraying your people.
It's scary. I had a young girl write me and she said, she's so glad she found our show. She heard ours we did a year ago, you know, and she said that she has lots of friends talking about wanting a mocha baby. And so they don't actually, they don't think it through that they're, you know, blue or green or gray eyes or their light hair might be gone forever. I mean, people love to show these mixed race babies with blue eyes, but it's not the norm.
Right.
And why is it that blue eyes all of a sudden is better on a mocha baby over a white one? What's wrong with the white baby with the blue eyes?
Because
it's so trendy and exotic.
Yeah, exotic. That's the thing, exotic. Anything else?
It's spicy, right?
Yeah, so ethnic.
But it's so kitschy and it's so tacky and so old-fashioned to want to be with somebody of your own race, you know.
This is ridiculous. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Sinead, also, you know, within hours, YouTube made people sign in to confirm their age before viewing the video. So was this possibly because of the boob shot or what was this about?
That's what I've heard as, you know, oh, it could be because of the femen pictures you had. But when there's cuckold porn, straight up pornography that is up on YouTube that I've had everybody I know flag and report. And I actually got a 7-day ban from Facebook for posting this video, asking people to report it as pedophilia and pornography. I got banned. And we put up our video of us dressed modestly and not talking about having sex. It's age restricted. So people say, oh, blur out the boobs. But no, it has nothing to do with the boobs. It's our message. They do not want young children hearing our message. They do not want girls having positive female role models. And they certainly don't want people knowing the truth about the Jews.
Exactly. It's ideological only.
Yeah, it has nothing to do. And obviously, they couldn't get me on copyright claims because we used all original music. Mm-hmm. Parker did the music. And, you know, I wrote the script and we're saying our own words. So they couldn't get us on that. So they had to shut it down some way. But you know what? We still have over 80,000 views. So.
No, and I'm sure a few young people actually got to see it before it was shut down, so to speak. Yeah. So.
Well, I would think more young people would want to see it. All you have to do is click, yeah, I'm 18. There's
right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, some people think we shouldn't just come right out and talk about Jewish supremacy or their social engineering to keep it entry level for newcomers and to reach more women. So what are both of your thoughts on that?
I think the time is now, and it's pretty much things aren't going to get better. They're only going to get worse, and everything just has to be talked about out in the open. And, you know, people like to talk about democracy and freedom of opinion and, you know, the right of free speech, but these are just words, and those people are actually talking and exchanging views and, you know, actually showing facts and whatnot. So people can just talk about and dance around the subject all they want, but, you know, the time is now, and we just have to talk about everything that's important and relevant. So,
right. I understand where they're coming from, but that's not our purpose. We have been talking about this for years now, and I have no time to pussyfoot around the issue. If someone would like to organize a group of women to write a script and to produce a kosher video, I say go for it. We need more of that kind of stuff out there. But if people are just going to tell me what I should do without actually getting off their butt and doing something themselves, well, I'm sorry, I can't really take that criticism to heart. While I understand where they're coming from, this needs to be said. And everyone's too afraid to name the Jew. If it was a freaking Buddhist who was doing it, I'd say the Buddhist George Soros.
Yeah.
If it was a Muslim, I would say Muslim feminists. But the minute you call a Jew without praising them, you're an anti-Semite. You're a Jew hater. You're bashing Jews. Not once in that video did we bash any Jews. We simply said that these feminists are Jewish and George Soros is a Jew. So I don't, you know, I can't hold my tongue anymore, and someone's got to say it, so let it be us, I guess.
Well, these Jews get away with a lot because, you know, all these refugees are running around going, you know, going into Europe. The rich Gulf countries are taking zero and Israel's taking zero, and they're building a huge wall and imprisoning Africans or giving them money to go to Sweden. How come no one's pointing the finger at Israel? Because they control the media, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exactly.
So they deserve a little finger pointing at this point.
Absolutely. My God.
They should at least get their fair share. Yeah. At least their fair share in comparison to everyone else. So I mean, you can't be a protected class forever. You have to get your take your fair share of the blame in the world's problems. So
And it's so hypocritical, too. You know, like George Soros, he automatically cuts off his funding when Femen starts spreading their BS to Israel. So,
He did.
Okay, where, you know, who is this guy supporting? It's just insane that people think my views are so controversial because I call a spade a spade. We've got a disproportionate amount of Jews in control in a white country when they have their own country. So what's going on here?
And we should be pointing the finger at them now because they've destabilized the Middle East. They're using American foreign policy to do it. And they're creating all these floods of people coming into our country, and they're remaining ethnically pure and building walls around their precious Israel, right?
Yeah, and more and more people are learning the truth that I think, honestly, I think they're getting desperate. And I think that's why they went from a slow trickle of invaders to full on flooding the European countries, because they are desperate.
Isn't it interesting how it's just like one day it just started happening?
Yeah, I think this is an act of desperation, honestly, after thinking about it. It has to be.
Well, it seems like an act of, it's an act of, well, I read something that said that the Middle East is being emptied out so that then Israel can take, you know, expand its borders, and then they're being sent to Germany for revenge. So, and, you know, it's especially Germany that's taking the hit, but other places in Europe are also getting a really lot of, not refugees, but Greek refugees. So.
Yeah, and we had Gregor Gysi, a Jew in Germany, recently talking about that right before this floodgate happened, talking about how basically all Germans are Nazis and they need to be multicultural. And then this, like, do you guys remember that video? Gregor Gysi? Yeah, we'll share it again. But, and then this flood comes, and like, I swear it was like, you know, 2 weeks later it started happening.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking cargo ships and packing them full with thousands and thousands and thousands of people and just dumping them. It's insane. I often wonder how, obviously it's not very hard to round up these people. Oh, here, free stuff, come get it. But it's like they are strategically picking the most radicalized young men.
Mm-hmm.
They're arming them. They are giving them weapons and ammunition. And the Europeans are like little lambs that are about to be slaughtered. They have no idea what is coming their way. And we are trying to warn them, and they are calling us racist and anti-Semite. Well, you know what? I hope that you start to see what we've been trying to warn you all about, because it is happening quickly.
Yeah, there's a lot of ES actually fighters coming in too, because even today I saw an article that said that in Munich they've totally lost count, they've totally lost overview of the people coming in. They don't even have records. Like, there are people who, you know, they come in and then they just disappear. So completely illegal, you know, maybe Syrian, probably not, and then they just disappear. So they don't even know, they don't even have numbers anymore in these places where they're coming in.
And they don't even need papers. They just come in. And I also heard that there's like the black market for Syrian passports is absolutely insane right now.
I just know how easy it was for people when I was living in New York City, how easy it was for all these people to get fake social security numbers, to get fake passports. It was like $50 and you buy a fake social security number. Everyone's doing it. So it's just ridiculous. There's no way they can actually track who these people are. And, you know, people will tell me, oh, we just need to send back the criminals. They're all criminals. They're all invaders, and they have their own countries and they need to go back to them.
They're they're evicting poor German people from their homes they've been in for 30 years to knock them down and build brand new houses for invaders for free.
Yep. I tried to tell my parents about that and they didn't believe me.
And the German telecom is offering free internet for the refugees, because now they basically say that internet is a human right. You know, it's pretty much just a PR campaign on their part. But they're not going to give free internet to the German people, and I guess they're going to raise the cost of the internet. And at the very least, next year people are going to have to pay more for health insurance. But I think that's the tip of the iceberg of everything that's going to that it's all going to come down to with this flood of this invasion, really.
And Goldman Sachs, they were just telling Germany how it's going to be good for your economy, Germany, all these invaders, all these people that don't work.
No, it's not. I mean, they're not going to burn. They're going to come and they're going to take your money. People are going to have to pay more taxes, and the jobs, I don't know what the job market's going to look like.
What kills me is these really naive, annoying Americans who have never even been to Europe. They don't see what's going on there. They don't follow the politics, and they're just like, it's great. You have to do it. Oh, yes, because they're not accepting them because they're racist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've seen the picture of the little boy lying face down in the sand, you know, one child, and they see that. And so, of course, that's a good reason for Europe to take on hundreds of thousands.
Well, remember when it happened in Tibet when the Chinese were flooding in, the whole world was, the white world was up in arms.
Yeah. But when it's their own genocide.
It's genocide against the Tibetans.
I mean, where's this going to go? Because, I mean, it's going to bankrupt for one, and then there's going to be violence, and we have all the armies in the world, and they're not doing anything in Europe. So fucking figure it out. This is a plan. This is an attack on us, you know? Our leaders need to be, we need to find them and crucify these traitors and start cleaning up.
They need to be publicly executed.
Yeah, hold people responsible.
Yeah. Yeah, and people have guillotines ready, so people are insane.
Well, people have got to be held responsible.
Yes.
Yeah. People have got to be held responsible for all of this mess. So.
And there are people with names and addresses, and we know exactly who's doing it, so that's all I'm saying.
Well, that's just it. I mean, where are those people? They need to be intimidated. It's just, this is dire straits now. You look at the imagery, and I hear from friends over there who have recorded footage, and it's an invasion, and our governments are doing nothing. They're just watching it. And in fact, I saw today Obama was even willing to fly over, use our money to fly these people over into America now.
Oh, what a good guy. Thanks, Obama. So caring. Oh, yeah, and they will. You know, they will. We know they've been dumping Somalis all over this country. I mean, I walk out of my house and I see new burkas every day. Like, where the hell am I?
Yeah. It's interesting. The Somalis, they've dumped them all in Minnesota. It's like they love the Somali-Sweden combo for some reason.
Oh, they do. They love it.
The Scandinavian-Somalian combination is very popular.
What is that?
So weird.
That's strategic. We know that Minnesota is a big Swedish population, and they really, really hate the blondies. They really have a special hatred for the blondies.
And I know we said this off air when we were talking, but we hear all these people talking about crisis actors all the time. But I'd say these are not, it's not a refugee crisis. It's a refugee crisis actors that are coming into the countries.
Absolutely. It's a straight up army.
How do we know the child that washed up? How do we know that's real? We don't.
We don't. And I would say most likely it's not real based on the fact that a body floating around in salt water would be bloated and be picked at by fish. I mean, now I guess it's a close journey, but like we were saying before the show started, if you really cared about your family getting a better life, you would have bought them a damn life jacket.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was just going to the dentist. He's coming from Turkey. Turkey, a NATO country, there's dentists there. And by the way, they're very rich in the nearby Gulf states. He could have gone there to a dentist. But now he's got to go to Germany, and it gets better. This father had a sister who's living in Canada, and she's on welfare, and she sent him like €1,000 or something. Like, okay, you could have paid a Turkish dentist to fix your child's teeth.
Yeah, and Saudi Arabia isn't willing to take in refugees, but they are willing to finance the building of 200 mosques.
Oh, thanks, guys. Such humanitarians.
Well, isn't it so funny, too, because we've got like hundreds of these, you know, Islamic watch groups in Europe, but now all of a sudden we're not Islamophobes and we're not racists and everyone wants to come be in our countries, right?
Right. They demonized the Muslims and the Arabs after 9/11 because that fit their narrative. But now we have to welcome them into our countries and trust them. They're good people.
Well, a lot of them are religious freaks, too.
Yeah, the radical.
But that's part of the psychological warfare because, you'll see in the news or, you know, you read online like one article that says that, you know, maybe thousands of ES fighters have made their way into Europe. But if you don't accept all of the refugees in, then into your country with open arms, you know, then and give them donations, then you're a bad person. So on the one hand, we're going to create fear about all of the people that are coming in who are, you know, these fighters that are ready to chop off people's heads, rape and dismember them and torture them in all kinds of horrific ways. And but we have to welcome them in, and if, you know, we give them diapers, which they don't need, then you know, then they'll suddenly stop. And we bring them to Europe, they'll stop decapitating people, they'll stop raping, they'll stop torturing. No, that's not the way things work.
No. What I hate is the people that are like, well, you deserve it because America and, you know, Europe's been meddling there. Are you kidding me? We have no say with what our governments do, so why should we pay for it and be genocided for what they do, you know?
Exactly. It's just their justification.
I hate that when people have been saying, with the whole thing, that the policies, even the policies of Europe, US, NATO, whatnot, in the Middle East, and so we have to let these people come in because, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that they're coming. No. And, you know, and the comparison is that, you know, you go and trash somebody's house, and then they're going to come and trash your house. Somebody posted that in a discussion. I said, no, it's like somebody goes to somebody else's house, trashes their house, and then gives you the blame, and then you have to foot the bill, and then the person whose house got trashed in the first place comes and trashes your house.
Yeah.
So you had nothing to do with the whole thing, but you have to take it, you have to foot the bill, get the punishment. And what else did I read online? That don't be surprised when hell comes to you when you've created hell somewhere else. It's like, no, we had nothing to do with this. This is somebody else who made this mess, and, you know, we're all the ones who are going to suffer for it. So how is that fair?
And it's funny, how even from left to right, they all just seem to support Israel. Now no one is pointing the finger at AIPAC. You know, like, I only hear David Duke talking about it. That's it.
It's so obvious that it's just the emotional anchor that's been set in people's minds with, oh, Jews, Holocaust, they're persecuted. We can't call them out for what they're doing. It's so strong that you can show these people the evidence of who is running the show, who are implementing these policies, and they say it in their own quotes. We want to abolish the white race. We want to wipe the white race off the face of the earth. They are saying it right there. And you show this to people, but they're like, you know, that was just one person.
Yeah.
They don't think tribally or anything. I mean, are you kidding me? It's just insane. I want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, it's getting bad. And now I just read the news today. There's all this probably manufactured stuff going on in Mexico. Their economy's tanking and some drug wars have ramped up. And so now we've got like tons more people coming across the Mexican border too. So, I mean, it's every white country. Figure it out, people. This is part of the plan. We've got, you know, if they didn't want it, they would stop it. We've got the guns. We invented the technology and the weaponry, but they're not stopping it because they want white genocide. They want to take out our cultures. They want to create conflict. They want to destabilize white people.
Absolutely.
And they're really wrapping it up the way it is.
Oh, yeah. And it's happening in this country, in the United States. We just don't notice it as much because we're so spread out.
Yeah.
But it's happening. I mean, our border is wide open, at least the southern border. We're being kept in. Okay. Anybody can come in here, but we're being kept in. This is a prison. This is a what some people refer to as a goy plantation. You know, we're the border is set up to keep us in, but to let anybody who wants to come in, come in. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard of James O'Keefe, but he did an expose, or, you know, he basically dressed up as Osama bin Laden and walked across the southern border, and just to show how wide open this thing is. And it's not like we don't have the military power to protect our borders. We absolutely do. It's because the orders from the top are saying, stand down, let them come in. You know what? Not even let them come in. Give them some clothes and water and benefits. Yeah, let's reward their criminal activities. Let's reward that.
Yeah, just, you know, rewarding people for behaving like animals, basically, you know, just letting people, just encouraging them to come to European countries and just go completely crazy.
Yeah. And when they do commit crimes, like we were talking about before, how that girl was raped, gang raped, and this guy got a few hours, or here there was a case in the United States where a young girl was murdered by, I think it was two little black youths, and they got a book report. Wow, that's great. I'm sure they learned a lot. And we're basically, we're rewarding this behavior. We are rewarding raping white women and beating the shit out of white people for no reason. We're rewarding that.
Yeah, we need
not
to,
us, but
we need to pull out of these communities people that are aware, that are awake, and start repositioning ourselves and start claiming certain areas. I feel very strongly about that. And we have to do it now before this land is taken up, where they start giving away land to all these invaders coming in. I mean, yeah. Europe's getting packed. Yeah. Is there going to be any more forest? You know, because in Sweden, they talk about it's lots of forest and, you know, people are worried about overpopulation. It's unsustainable. Environmentalists are silent. They don't say anything about this invasion happening. It is unsustainable. Too many people. They have way too many children when they come here. But now the Swedish leaders are saying, oh, we've got all this forest, all this land. So are they just going to like chop it down and build immigrant housing?
Probably, Lana. And you know what someone brought up to me the other day? I was talking to Sophia Smallstorm. I know you've had her as a guest a few times. And she was telling me that she thinks the agenda goes even further, that they want to basically bring in the third world to Europe. And then Europeans will be so disenfranchised and have absolutely no opportunities that they'll say, hey, guys, we have these jobs in Somalia for you. You know, you can come to Somalia and you can, you know, have a good job and you can support your family. So, I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but that was an interesting perspective. You know, I think they want to shift populations around, and we're seeing it. Obviously, Europeans are being genocided and displaced, but I think it's going to go even a step further. They probably want them all out, all the white people, any ones that are left.
Yeah, Henrik was reminding me the other day, just remember, they come to us. They're the ones in the weak position. We aren't the weak ones. We're the strong ones. White people don't go beg and grovel. You know, we create civilization. So we just need to pull out, reorganize, I think. And I mean, Europe can be cleaned up. I think America should just be the melting pot. They could all just live here and then we can all just go back to Europe. That's what I've been thinking lately.
That'd be fine with me.
Yeah, focus to Europe, go to your ancestral homelands and then stay there and create communities and connect with, you know, first like-minded people and then just build something from there that's better and just to try to focus on the positive things, you know, even on these, in these times where there's so much just negative and just seeing what's in the media lately can really get a person down, but just trying to focus on what one can actually do to improve the situation is so important.
I think some meetup groups would be good for people like us because we have to keep up with the morale because it's depressing, folks, when you look around and you see what's happening. I mean, my DNA screams. It's survival, you know, and we were talking about this last night with some friends that when that survival instinct kicks on, it's like you get this super awareness. It's like mm-hmm. a mystical multidimensional thing kicks in.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that kicking on in other people because then I think we can do some interesting stuff. So I know it's never too late. We can turn this thing around and more people have to start waking up. But it's also good to connect with those people and find them because we help activate each other. There's something that happens when we get together. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we need to remember too that it doesn't take the majority of us to make a huge change. It takes a very small percentage of people, of bright, strong people, to implement real
lasting change. Who are completely dedicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as we start to close, I wanted to play you this funny video that just came to my attention a few minutes ago on BBC. It's called We Are Beautiful Too, Say Women from Immigrant Backgrounds. So let me just play this and you can chuckle away on top if you want.
Growing up, I never saw a woman who looked like me on TV. And because of that, I felt like I wasn't beautiful.
Probably because you're not in your own country, sweetheart.
This was an opportunity for me to embrace my inner Afghan goddess.
With her English accent.
Her goddess. We're showing pictures of women in burqas posing sexy here, their scarves.
Awesome.
My name's Sarah Mahmood. So I live in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Palestinian and I'm a student. I wanted to create this hashtag with the help of the other girls, basically because Middle Easterns and North Africans don't get enough representation in American pop culture and American media.
Poor thing.
Because it's not your country.
That's right.
Go home.
My looks weren't normal and they weren't okay because all the girls on TV would be pretty blonde.
Gwen, so sorry for you. So bad.
I want to be blonde too. Palestinian and proud.
Hashtag really helped to display and appreciate the different beauties around the world. It showed us that it's okay for us to not all look the same. It's okay for us to be different.
When we never told you couldn't.
Insecure much?
Women from other backgrounds are joining in.
I'm American and I'm originally from Afghanistan and Uzbekistan. The Habibati hashtag was something so much more extensive than just a hashtag. It really symbolized something for me and it really meant something to me. In this society, we're all shown in under the same light and labeled for what we are and where we come from. The Habibati tag really broke the bondage for those exact stereotypes.
The bondage.
The bondage? Okay. Not even gonna ask.
I think it's deeper than that because it's not just about wanting to appreciate our beauty. The only representation
other people
we
to say you're
as
pretty.
Middle Easterns and North Africans in the media is when an act of hate or an act of terror occurred and the assailant was Middle Eastern North African. That's the only time you see us in the news. We're not all radicals. I might be a radical liberal, if anything.
Oh, she's a radical liberal now.
They're pretty much allowed to live for free in European and Western countries. So, oh, life is so difficult when you get to just live, pick the place you want to live. Borders are open for you.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to like Saudi Arabia and the three of us went and complained that we're not seeing enough white women on TV. We need to change this. Where's our equal representation? They would stone you to death.
Of course they would. I want a heathen section in the grocery. No.
These are white countries built by European people. Our guys invented all this technology. We produce everything, but now we're supposed to just share it equally with everyone at all times and make all women feel beautiful, right?
Right. I think it's absolutely disgusting what the Jews are doing to Palestinians, but that's not our problem.
That's right.
We should not be expected to take all of them in. I think it's disgusting what they're doing, but this is not our war. We have nothing to do with this. You guys can go kill each other in the Middle East. You've been doing it for thousands of years, but leave us the hell alone. We want to just have a white country and be homogenous, and you guys can continue to be degenerates and kill each other and behead each other and rape each other, whatever.
That's right. And they also said, it's okay to be different. We never said you couldn't be different, but in fact, you come over here and then you just want to look like Western women and just blends into the all the same thing. So none of it is different in the end.
Right. Exactly. Good point.
Exactly.
Oh my God, you guys.
Exactly like you said, if one of us went to Africa or somewhere and just expected everyone to bend over backwards for us to accommodate our culture, but then people would just laugh at us. I mean, the Afrikaners, like some white people in South Africa, you know, they get blamed for all of the problems, and nobody says a word in the media, and also in other places, white people. Like in Africa, you have like white farmers being targeted, and nobody says anything about that. But if a couple of, Muslim women in Western countries feel less appreciated, less beautiful, then it's a big thing that we have to make a huge drama out of, and it's so tragic.
Then we have to convince people that these beauty ideals are just stereotypes. It's not because these women are actually beautiful or based on anything, no golden ratio or anything. It's just all mind control why we think these people are beautiful, right? But did you hear how she's like, they're just blonde and skinny. And I think she said something about blue eyes or something, complaining about that. Yeah, she's just jealous, basically. Like
it's all jealousy.
Exactly.
But by the way, it's not like that on TV anymore. Turn it on. I hardly see blondes and white girls anymore. They're just mixing it up everywhere. Every sci-fi I turn on now is just like these, African-American rocket scientists and brain surgeons.
because that's reality.
It's just it's a constant barrage on TV. I mean, you don't see white people much on TV anymore. And if you do, then they're just ridiculing them and putting them down.
Yeah, or
they're the stupid ones.
Yep.
Well, ladies, I want to hear more about what you have coming up for video, Sinead and Megan. I want you to tell us about your new albums.
Okay, my new album. Yeah, I just released a new album under my Edith Orlo project. And that came out just a couple of months ago. And it's focusing more on the Nordic mythology and writing songs, kind of in this bardic tradition that European people did for many, many years, trying to keep that tradition alive, really, writing songs to tell stories and to connect with nature and to get back to roots and to appreciate heritage. And, you know, it's more than, you know, maybe there's a little bit of Viking imagery in that, but that's not really the, that's not the purpose at all. It's sort of the getting to the roots of nature, even pre-Viking Scandinavian, all of Europe. I think anybody of European heritage could really get into that. The album is called Frodo Sheepdog and Songs from Njarnalog. Like there's a song about this island in Norway on the western coast where they found an altar going predating the Viking period, buried under the earth, and they also discovered that when standing at the vantage point of this, you know, megalith stone at this part of the island is called Tisnes, by the way. When standing at the sun point of the island, you could see the sun on the solstices, on the winter and the summer solstice, you see the sun, you know, go behind this one mountain, and then in between the two mountain peaks, the sun would shine from in between the two mountains, and then hit the stone, and then hit the altar in an exact, you know, like this solar phenomenon. It would just hit the stones in this exact way. And there's several other really amazing places on this island, such as like the oldest road in all of Hordaland in Norway, which is used as a processional route when they would, you know, have a blot or some special like ritual celebrating the, you know, Norse paganism. And there's also a lake. There's a lake there that Tacitus might have written about, I think maybe, but it's called like Zeevatn, and that means like sacred water. And it could be there that where there's this passage that Tacitus wrote that they would drive this like wagon to the water, and you know, a woman portraying the goddess, and the driver would be sacrificed later because nobody could see the face of the goddess. So a lot of really just intense things happened in that island. And the title of the album like focuses on, you know, telling about that. And I have this one particular song that's about that. And I'm not doing a very good job of describing it right now, but it's something that when you go there, you really feel it. And then hopefully when you listen to the music, you get a little piece of that feeling that the words don't really describe. And you can, you know, read a lot of stuff that, you know, some historians have written about it, some archaeological, like, about, like, these archaeological finds. And it really doesn't do it any kind of justice at all. So you just have to go there and, like, and feel it and see these things. But if you listen to the music, you can get a little bit of that feeling.
What's the name of the island again?
Tisnes. Tisnes, it's like Tyr, like the god Tyr's nest, which is like, you know, a little piece of an island. Actually, the island was called Njarnalog for the goddess Njata, which would be like the Germanic form of Natus, which is like the Latinized form that, you know, Tacitus wrote about. But Njarnalog, which would be like, you know, Natus or Njata's island, but they changed the... Like a piece of the island was called Tisnes, but with time they dropped the Njarnalog and just took Tisnes. But basically, you have, you know, these two major like Germanic, Nordic, Norse gods whose names are directly tied to the island, and then evidence of like worship dedicated to them also there in the form of the altar and like the and the megalith and whatnot. And possibly what Tacitus wrote. It's not certain that Tacitus wrote about that one particular place that could have been elsewhere in Europe, but it's very interesting because there's a lot of like connections, and there's even some kind of geometric like formations of these different places around the island that would form. So if I can find the like the documents, I'll send the links, and that could be something interesting to post. I think it's in Norwegian, but it's interesting to look at like the diagrams. So this could be, you know, like a really sacred island. Something like with Uppsala in Sweden, which is also like a central point for paganism. Caithness might have also been that. That could have been like the Western Scandinavia, you know, before like Iceland and the Faroe Islands. Like there could have been the place that people made pilgrimages to. So it's not certain that people actually lived there year round earlier in that period. They might have just gone there as part of like a pilgrimage, like some spiritual thing. Of course, this is all speculation.
It'd be fun to have a meetup and have our own pilgrimage there again, just to go feel it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Sinead, tell us what you have going on. I know you're going to do some more videos.
Yes, I plan on doing some more videos. I've got a few other ladies, including you two, ready to go. I just need to kind of finalize my script. I was thinking about maybe doing one a little bit more uplifting, inspiring women to see how awesome their people are, because we've been given a lot of crap in that regard. And also I wanted to do one kind of as an intervention to white women, to hopefully shake them out of their degeneracy and their crazy thinking, to hopefully get them to see things a little bit differently, because I didn't always think this way, as I was saying before. I also have been doing some music stuff. I've got a few Irish traditional songs out there on my YouTube, and I think I'm going to put together a little album of some traditional songs. And I've been doing a few podcasts here and there on my Firestarter Radio YouTube page. Been too busy to do a regular show, but I hope to have some more shows up soon. And that's about it for me.
Yeah, you have some really fun parody songs. Those are really enjoyable. Where can people hear those?
Yeah, I forgot to talk about that. That's my alter ego.
They're naughty.
So.
They're naughty.
Yeah, they're definitely naughty. There's lots of curse words and making fun of the Jews. But you can find that Shik's a Goddess on YouTube, Shik's a Goddess. And if you want to have a good laugh, I've got some more coming out too. It's my new addiction. It's kind of therapeutic for me, I've realized. So
yeah, we need a humor route for sure.
We do. And a lot of people have told me that, oh, it's pointless because you're just, you know, you're not waking anybody up. But I don't think my purpose is really to wake people up anymore. I think it's to boost the morale of the people that are already awoken. So
it's equally important.
Right. If they can have a good chuckle, that's worth millions to me, because we don't have anybody out there making funny parodies for us. And it's time that we made our own media. So there you go. Shik's a Goddess.
Very true.
All right, ladies. Any other websites you wanted to share?
I guess I'll plug renegadetribune.com. I've been writing a few articles there, and there's always some good stuff. Renegade Broadcasting, there's good shows once in a while. And, well, I guess my Firestarter Radio page, if people want to check that out, there's more videos coming soon.
Yeah, I have a couple of fan pages. You can maybe put them, you know, type them in. A couple of fan pages, and I have a blog and called Voices My Ancestors, and you can just include like a link on there.
All right, ladies. Well, thanks again. It's been a blast.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, thank you.
Isn't it funny how leftists of many ages actually think that they are the counterculture? They think they're edgy and rebels against the establishment? What a joke. This is how they live in la-la fantasy land. You don't get fired or put in jail for even the most radical leftist views. But try and start a white student union or say you're against the invasion of white countries and look out. We all know leftists are enemies of free speech, enemies of free will, and enemies of the truth. So it's our moral obligation to offend them. At the rate it's going, they're becoming so weak that in 20 years, we'll be able to slay them with a word. But now, things are heating up, folks. We're witnessing an all-out invasion into Europe, and really all European countries. While simultaneously, our traitor governments do not represent our interests. They're raising taxes, increasing the debt, and making it increasingly harder to make a move in many different ways. It's not going to magically get any better unless we do the work. We all have to do our best to teach our friends and families about the reality we're in. Don't give up so easily. Make it a challenge to bring them into the fold. And only when you know you've done your best, walk away. But know that maybe in 1 or 2 years, they may return to you with that switch flipped on. It's our duty to be planting seeds into the hearts and minds of everyone we know. For some, we may be the only voice of truth they come across, so this becomes very important. That seed you plant may not sprout immediately, maybe not at all, but some may bloom in the next season. And women are ultra important, the life givers. Make a special effort to reach the women in your lives. Try it all, don't give up so easily. We at Red Ice are working hard to bring you news, radio shows, and video content. We are independent, listener-supported and always commercial-free. And we never monetize our YouTube videos as we don't believe in promoting the companies that advertise on YouTube. But we don't do enough. We feel a great urgency and need to expand. There's so much work to be done. We know what needs to be done and how to do it, but our small team cannot manage it all. Alt media is vital in these times, and we need to create more content to reach more people. And in order to make more content, we need people, and people need to be compensated. So if you like what we do and you want to help us grow, please sign up for a Red Ice membership to access all our material. RedIceMembers.com is the website. We appreciate all of your support. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll be back with another show next week.